Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. This is your host, Joe Trainer. Got a very special guest tonight, Father Mike Spaziel, assistant pastor over at St. Philip Neri Church, my home parish. So I definitely went back to the well with this one. And this guy is an amazing human being. He's an unbelievable priest. And when he speaks God's word and resonates on it, I can't get enough of it. And he's been such a blessing for that parish and for me personally, as, you know, with my own family and trying to just kind of help faith form my own children. He's been unbelievable with that. We've had a lot of conversations about things he talks about. And tonight's topic is youth ministry. But before we begin, let's begin in, as we always do, in prayer. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, as Father Mike and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Mike Spaziel, again, assistant pastor over at St. Philip Neri. He's been a Catholic priest, ordained a priest for 12 years. He's a graduate of St. Charles Seminary. From 2009 to 2011, he was assistant pastor at St. Anastasia in Newtown Square. From 14 to 20, he took kind of a different path and became a high school minister. You know, school, running campus ministry down at Carroll, was on the faculty there teaching theology. And then 2020, we were talking about that outside in the waiting room, around July, August, he ended up transitioning over to Lafayette Hill, which was an incredibly vibrant parish already. But his arrival has been, he's been very impactful in his short time over there. He's a graduate of Our Lady of Consolation in Mayfair. He went to Cardinal Doherty High School as a graduate of their class of 2001. So, Father Mike, I know I kind of stalked you and chased you out of church a couple weeks ago trying to get you on my show, but I think you're looking at me. Unfortunately for us, there's no such thing as a coincidence. I ran into Father as we were both waiting patiently at Safelite Auto Glass.
That's
in
right.
In East Norton, and he came in and
there was just windshield.
We both had crack windshields. I'm not sure what that's saying about either one of us, but that was kind of a segue. So as I was stalking him outside the church doors in St. Philip's a few weeks ago, I was able to reference that, and he was able to put a name with a face, and it was good, and he was excited to come on.
As long as you put some extra money in that collection, that's why I came out here.
don't cash the check yet. I think it's going to bounce.
It's going to bounce. Careful. Yeah.
But tonight's topic is youth ministry. We couldn't have handpicked a better guest to talk about this, because he's relevant for Catholics of all ages. You know, and I know certainly, you know, he doesn't know me very well, but I can tell you, I have the perfect guest on my show, because between daily mass and Sunday mass, I've heard him over 20, 25 times. And
he's still here.
I'm still here.
Thank God.
And my kids now, you know, when my sons are home from Delaware and my daughter who goes to LC, you know, when we decide Saturday around 4:30, hey, what's the game plan for tomorrow? What mass we're going to? We always try and check the ledger to see if, you know, what mass Father Mike has, because he's so inspiring for youth. youth, and you know, and quite honestly, that's a you know, not, I don't want to call it a concern, but you know, as the faith continues to evolve, you know, as a organization and a you know, an institution, you know, just with young people, not, you know, it's so easy to go astray now. And I think, you know, I think, how do I want to say this, Father Mike? I think we've lowered the bar enough to say, listen, you know, it's kind of, you know, you don't have to practice, you don't have to engage, you don't have to, you know, I can kind of do my own thing from a spiritual standpoint. And, you know, I know you're doing an unbelievable job with the students and the young teens over at St. Philip. So what are you able to do? What is your platform when you try and reach out to the young people?
You know, I think it's the key. One of the things I just like was always been on my mind since I was ordained, I just think about the priests that I grew up with and stuff like that, was the importance of just, you know, availability. You're always present, even like, you know, whether it's a game, whether it's a meeting, whether just saying goodbye in the car, you know, just like those little moments mean a lot. So your presence is key, but also relatability. You know, like sometimes you look at a guy with a collar on, it's like some dinosaur, some alien, some weirdo or something like that. And I think it's just key that, you know, that obviously I'm a priest, but also to be able to talk, to relate to them, knowing the things that they're involved in, that they watch, to, you know, joke around a little bit, get to know them like that. That means a lot. It goes a long way. And I think, you know, more than ever right now, we need to get the our young people, you know, they need God. They're all looking for God. And I think a lot of times I thought about it in the ministry, always hearing about, it's a negative thing against the young people. Oh, look at these kids today and what they're, how do you, like, I remember being, you know, being high school ministry for the last almost 10 years, and there's people are coming to me like, how do you do it dealing with these teenagers all the time? Like, is that where all your hair went? And I'm like, no, that's my halo. That's my halo. That's my way to heaven, these kids. But they got to deal with my nonsense, stuff like that. But the thing is too, like, you know, they're always like, oh man, it must be so hard talking to the kids about in today's day. I give credit to these kids. I think it's tough to be a Catholic. You know, we put these kids down. This is hard to be, you know, it's hard to be an adult and a Catholic. So more than ever, you get young people and try to get them excited. And they're looking for God, too, and you know, engage in the faith. You know, I give them a lot of credit. All the distractions, social media, 2020, all the stuff that's going on. There's so much nonsense, you know, and just they need, just like we need God, they're looking for God and hopefully in the right places. So that's where, you know, we come in to try to, you know, try to be an example, try to, you know, guide them and teach them, but also walk with them. Sure. It's not just like, all right, I'm the teacher and you're the student, but like, hey, I'm with you. You know, again, not just in the classroom, but just, hey, at the, you know, like I coach CYO, I, you know, go into the games, go into the plays, go into this, like just those little things. Those kids remember that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? They always, remember what you said, or I remember you were there, and like, you don't even remember. I don't even know what they're talking about.
Sure. Well, I was outside, you know, rattling off about four or five homilies that came to the top of my head in the short time I've known you. And even, you just brought up another one. It was probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. My wife was really blown away, you know, because you were saying, hey, listen, I'm sick of people calling the rectory and saying, Father Mike, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're busy. And you said, hey, man, this is my job. Yeah. I'm not too busy for my congregation and my flock. And like that was incredibly empowering for, you know, for us to hear that message. And it was just, your accessibility is very attractive. Not just, again, not even though our topic tonight is youth ministry, I think your approach with your whole congregation is incredibly, it's pretty awesome. It really is. From a discernment standpoint, Father Mike, like what were, you know, let's start there for a second. So let's talk about, you know, your call to be a priest, mm-hmm. you know, the discernment process for you and maybe who were some of your earlier influences in terms of leading you down that road.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, growing up again, I didn't understand what the priesthood. I went to Catholic school and I had good family, a good Catholic family. So, you know, a lot of it, you know, just was ingrained in me what, you know, what was the faith all about. But understand what a priest is totally, you know, above my pay grade. I was, you know, I was involved in sports, basketball,
sure.
baseball, you know, dated, you know, all the normal stuff, you know, went to Doherty. So, you know, the priesthood was there. I had a respect for it, but I didn't understand it. And probably the turning point in my life was my sophomore year of high school is when my grandfather died. He was a father figure to me. He really was big time in my life. And it was really, you know, it was a tough moment. You know, I was took it the wrong. I was angry with God. I was a mess. I was fighting it. It just, you know, especially as a teenager, as a sophomore.
Male, yeah.
So that really threw me for a loop. And I was like, oh, man, like all this faith stuff out the window. You know, you just, it's a challenge. But I would say going into my senior year, you know, that was kind of like my comeback, my conversion, I would say. And I talked about this, you know, maybe in the past about the Miraculous Metal Shrine. My family, my dad's from Germantown, and my grandfather's from that area too. So I was getting to the end of my parents' ropes, just disrespectful attitude, bad friends, bad decisions, just the classic teenage stuff. And I was lost. And again, I was just all over the place. And, you know, God was in the back, you know, just in the back burner. I didn't really think much about it. And it was just one Monday night. I was just getting, you know, giving attitude and just nasty. And Dad, it's like, get in the car. We're going to the Miraculous Metal Shrine. It was a Monday night. It was, I guess they do the novenas on the Monday nights at the shrine. So my dad's like, how long has he been to went to confession? How long has it been? So I'm like, oh, it's been a while. You know, I know my school takes me, but I haven't gone. They don't force you. So I'm like, get in the line. You're going to confession. So I didn't want any part of it. Confession, just want to get in, tell my laundry list, get out. And as I tell my sin, again, the priest is behind the screen, never been there before. I didn't say anything about my grandfather's death, but as I got my penance, I'm about to walk out the door. I'm about to open the door. The priest says, stop. And I'm like, stop? Was one of my sins that bad? I never got stopped. Even to this day, I've never been stopped in confession. So I was like, what's wrong? Like, what? How did I do? And then, forever, again, I believe it was Christ speaking through this priest. And again, it's just like one of those grace-filled moments that just comes back to you. For whatever reason, again, I didn't say anything about what I was going through, but he just said, don't be afraid, he's with you. You know, don't be afraid, he's with you. Again, that really hit my heart about, again, my grandfather. What am I be like? My grandfather was a man of faith. Not to be like this, to be so bitter and nasty and, you know, alone, not telling anybody. And something just clicked when I walked out of the confessional. It was like a new, you know, that was a kind of like my conversion moment. And as the priest walked out to do the novena, that is when, like, I would say, like, the priest would kind of, like, just, you know, the people say the call happened. And I just really couldn't get it out of my mind, you know.
Wow.
I'm just like, and then he kept like saying, well, not me. I'm like the last person. I, you know, all the things I've done, I'm not worthy of it. So running away from making excuses. But that was the moment that kind of, that shrine is a special place to me, that Miraculous Mother, the Blessed Mother. So that's where everything kind of came together. And having great, I had great priests along the way. Father Kennedy, Cardinal Doherty, Father Bielski passed away. He was at St. David's. I just had great priest mentors and people like that I looked up to. Like, didn't understand what the priesthood was, but obviously I had to give it a shot, go to the seminary, learn what it was, you know, understand the vocation, and fall in love with it. And I, you know, I think there was a lot of people that were shocked. I didn't think that, even my own, like my, you know, my family, my mom especially, like, not sure, like, at first, is this really going to do this? But it's God's plan. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, after all these years and even all the craziness, you know, going through the scandal and stuff like that, which, you know, I didn't sign up for. I had all good priests. It was a little shock to me. You know, it just, I made it to, you know, I made it to 2009 to being a priest, and it's a happy and rewarding life. Like, I have, like, this is what God wanted me to do. And when you follow God's call,
that's
like,
an amazing story.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, literally, like, you hear about the sacramental grace that comes with confession and some of those
confession
things.
Confession
is, like,
why I'm here.
That's amazing. That's truly, like, one of the more remarkable stories I've ever heard.
Some guy, like, you know, it's all their life. They never, like, they always had it or something like that. But it was that moment. It was that, and that was that shrine, and it's a special place. And it was in the confessional, you know.
Well, I think pretty, you know, cool. That's awesome. It really was. I think too, with, like, with church leadership, it's like any other leadership. I mean, your credibility with your flock, right?
Sure.
And I think the fact that you've, you know, there's no story, no, whether it's a confessional or a problem that a young person has or an adult even, like, there's going to be relatability there.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, that you
they
bring
don't even
the
realize
table.
I mean, they're thinking I'm some, like, you know, I was always born a priest. I wasn't.
Sure.
You know, I went through my high school ups and downs. And the ironic, I think this is all part of God's plan, but sophomore year was probably the worst year of my life. And all the years of high school, what did I teach every year? Sophomores. I mean, it's unbelievable. So seeing these kids, and they're, you know, the wives, they were rough. They're a lot of questions. I saw myself.
Absolutely.
On all the stuff that they said, you know, whether they didn't believe in God.
Sure,
or
inappropriate.
Crazy things they said. I that was me. And I'll never say that to them, but that was me. So I never took it. I was able to walk with them and relate to them. I never took any of the stuff they said personally, because that was me. So it's like you kind of see yourself in them, and you walk with them. And I really think that's really the key to youth ministry. Because the kids can see it. If it's an act or you're putting on a show, you gotta be
authentic.
Authentic.
Yeah.
And And that's the thing, is just like you're being your true self. And that's the, that was the, in all the years of high school, and that's, and I miss it. But again, I'm still connected with St. Philip. It's just, sure. It's weird with the corona though. Obviously being in St. Philip and all the stuff, the COVID, you can't try to start a high school youth group right now. You know, there's so many barriers and thing. We did an outdoor movie night. We're happy about that. But again, just, you know, I do, just the interaction. And then not only that, it's just like, you give to it, you watch the growth in their faith, and that's really inspiring. But you learn a lot from them too. Like, your mind reminds you when where you were. Like
100%
keeps you humble.
Humbled, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been very. It's been a blessing.
That's awesome. Especially. So for your timeline. So it was you were 2 years.
3 years at Ryan.
I know, but 3 years in a parish, and then you or go
two
to,
years at
two
a
years
parish,
at
yeah.
Carroll, and then you go to Carroll.
I went to Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay. No. As a campus minister?
No, I was a full-time teacher at Ryan for 3.
Okay.
And then for the last 6, I was a teacher and the school minister at Carroll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went from Ryan. Chucky Panapressa, you know
sure,
Chucky?
Sure, I know Chucky,
he's
man.
My cousin.
Oh, no way. Yeah, God bless you, man. Yeah. The disciplinarian. He's a disciplinarian there, man.
Every time I would go in there for recruiting, they'd be like, yeah.
He was my neighbor across from the from my classroom at Ryan, so I could always hear his voice and making up all the kids' names. And he knew their names, but he always called them the wrong name. That was always his thing.
Sure. Now, in terms of God's plan for you, like do you if you had a wish list, just putting you on the spot a little bit, comparing parish life with high school life, like where do you see your skill set marrying up best in terms of long term for you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, I think the next step is being a pastor. That's what I know is like that's the next, you know, getting the call up whenever that is. But I just think too, like even being a pastor, whenever that happens, you know, it's trying to mix it up. You know, it's. The youth has got to be a key, and that's something that's tricky. You got to be creative with that.
Sure.
Try to always find ways to get them involved and stuff like that. But it's, you know, it's young adults, it's adults, it's, you know, the seniors. You know, we're all in this together. It's a community. So it's interesting to be back in a parish because, like, I'm just so used to working with high school kids and just the teachers. The teachers are part of my family too. So
sometimes it's the adults that screw
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The adults. I mean, that's the thing. And you even work with them. Like some of the teachers came in through RCIA and. Watching them grow in their faith and going to Kairos with us, and the adults got, you know, watching them, maybe they didn't have their faith and now they regain it. So we've worked them. So, but being back at a parish, it's bringing some of that high school ministry into parish. There is a lot of things we can do. You know, you always hear about these Kairos retreats. That's a big thing at the Catholic high school level. Like, well, I want to do that. I want to do that here. I want to do if I can at St. Philip's. I mean, one of the things we did last year was we took the public high school kids to Kairos. So
that's awesome. How was the turnout?
We had like 40. It was our first time, so we had 40 kids.
Awesome.
We went to Elverson, and it was a win, and that was a way to get the, you know, the prep kids involved. You know, a lot of people forget about the CCD kids, but getting them involved, being a part of things. Young adults, you know, same thing, kind of like that retreat stuff, adoration. You know, that's one big story. You know, a big story I would say that, and I could share with you tonight is. You know, I guess obviously the Eucharist is the center, the source of it all with our faith. But you wonder, like, are young people really, interested in that? You know, it's like, you know, a lot of them want community, they want friendship, and that's what some of these retreats are really revolve around. And people are like, oh, there's no substance sometimes. It's all about feelings and stuff like that. But I got to say, being at Carroll, and especially the last 3 years, there were a couple of kids after Kairos that came up to me and said, hey, you know what, Father, like, we want to have fellowship and prayer every other week in the chapel on a Tuesday night. It was like 2 or 3 kids, and I'm like, you really think we can do this? You think kids are interested? You're like, yeah, Father, let's give it a shot. And I was, you know, I was like the doubting Thomas. I'm the priest, and I was like, yeah, okay, sure, the kids are going to come for adoration. Started with 3 kids. Started, then went to 5, then went to 10. We called they named it Genesis. We started doing it. It was every other week during the school year and every week during the summer. And Lansdale Catholic's got something like that, too. So we were kind of tapping on for Lansdale Catholic. It grew to 50, 60, 70.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was incredible. And to watch that, and I would tell them, like, my priest friends, like, Tuesday night, oh, I can't meet up. I got to do this going adoration with the high school, the seniors. Yeah, okay. No, I'm like, no, it's unbelievable.
That is so cool.
The teachers would come to it. And the thing is, the COVID's kind of put a kibosh on that right now. But what a... And again, just everyone's praying, the Christian music. I love the opening song, "The Soul's on Fire." That's definitely a song we know well.
Yeah.
And but just the fellowship, the friendship, the prayer, you know, there's witness. Sometimes they give witness.
Sure.
And they loved it.
That's
cool. And then the friendships were built from that. And then they would go and go to get wings at PJ Wheelhands and Price Wings. So
that's awesome.
Watching that, it was such a, it was not even just watching them grow, but it was inspiring for me. Like, man, I got to get, you know, I got to get back, you know, pray better and
keep
reflect
the bar
better.
High. Yeah.
Some of these kids are, you know, unbelievable, just on another level. I mean, just incredible.
That's really cool. I think one of them were under, and I try to tell my own children, like, one of the beauties of our faith, right, is obviously nothing substitutes, you know, the transformation that takes place every mass with, you know, when the wine and the bread is turned to the body and blood of Christ. But
sure.
There are so many uniquely Catholic worship opportunities. You know, you mentioned the Novena already. You have
right.
adoration. You have confession. You have
sure.
Stations of the Cross.
Sure.
So, you know, and I think that's what a benefit that is, because
yeah.
like we all migrate. You know, there's certain ones that I'm kind of partial to, and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you might be, you know, but there's so many different avenues to worship
no
our God.
Yeah.
And I think that not knowing a lot about other Christian denominations or non-Christian denominations, but it's so cool when you have so many different outlets mm-hmm. that you can use, you know, in addition to the Mass.
Exactly. No question. You know? Yeah, we have. I mean, there's so many. You're right. Avenues. Some people are very devotional. It's all set. Some people like, you know, meditation, conversation,
sure.
prayer. Some people like the small groups. You have so many opportunities of, you know, bringing. You know, it's all at the end of the, you know, you're bringing Christ. You know, reaching them, meeting them where they're at. Jesus met people where they're at. You meet these kids where they're at. You know,
it's funny you said that, because that's what I said. I have it written right here. Like, your ability to meet kids where they are is
that's
like
huge.
I think that's your yeah. strength too. That's awesome. Just talk about for a couple minutes. You know, I certainly go to St. Philip's most of our time, but based on activities and sports schedules and stuff like that. You know, we go to different, you know, we go to different parishes, and you know, and I think we're all blessed at St. Philip's, because it is even in the you know, the adversity and the craziness of the pandemic, you know, I think St. Philip's has weathered the storm.
Sure.
You know, in
Absolutely.
Terms of that, but you have other churches, you know, and I think, selfishly speaking, you know, and this is just my own. Foot soldier standpoint, you know, at what point do we say, hey, get back into the pews?
Right.
Like, at what point are we gonna? Because now my concern, and with, you know, I'm 52, so I have the benefit of 45 plus years of pattern behavior, like
right.
with somebody that's young, you know, or yeah. in the faith formation era, you know, once you've kind of, I'm not saying we've lowered the bar, but you know what, we've allowed for exceptions,
sure.
you know, now it's, and we were talking about, you know, mental health. And like, I think I really believe a lot of the crises that young people has, you know, is because we live in a godless society. And he's certainly present and available to all of us, but it's just, it's hard for young people to engage. And, you know, just talk about the post-pandemic, or, you know, as we hopefully come to the conclusion of this, you know, what the Catholic Church looks like overall.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, again, there's, yeah, it's all about avoiding extremes. You know, I think, you know, it's great. I think one of our weaknesses up to this point has been technology. You got to use technology to be able to get the word out. And what you're doing. So, I mean, a lot of these churches never knew what Facebook was, never knew what a webcam was, and being able to live stream your masses. And now, you know, most churches are doing that. So that's a great, you know, accessibility, because you think about people who aren't even from your church. That was a cool thing about, you know, Monsignor was talking about Christmas Mass. We had people watching from Switzerland, people watching
yeah.
from, we know that. So there's people from all over the country and all over the world, and you don't know who's watching it. And maybe, again, maybe it really you know, it hits a heart and changes a heart and turns a soul to Christ. That's great. So that's a great outlet of technology. But at the same time, again, the other extreme is, okay, well, I don't got to go into a church building anymore. I could just sit back in my house in my pajamas, drink my mimosa, and just watch Mass on, you know, on the screen. And again, like, that's the other, you know, it's like, oh, it's comfortable. I can pick what Mass I can go to. And I just hope that's going to be the challenge of getting people back. It's a habit, and the importance of community, the importance of the Eucharist. You know, spiritual communion is nice, but again, just we have to be creative. And when that all this opens up, once the Archbishop, you know, says that, you know, we're back, it's an obligation. how are people going to just come back, or like, is it going to take some time? So I think we, again, just avoiding extremes. I think it's just like, you know, hey, you know, technology is not a bad thing, but technology is not like the end all be all either.
Sure.
You know? So it's,
I
like,
know for those, I think probably 2 or 3 months where it was, where no one was having masks. Yeah. It was, you know, we would sit at the kitchen table and, yeah, you know, try and get it, you know, get the mass feed on the computer. And, but to your point, it was like, you know, being able to focus and lock in, yeah, and it was just, it's a whole different
I can't imagine. Yeah. That was, yeah, I just, that's the other part. I just, you know, it's like, and then it's so much better. Obviously you walk, you're in a church and, you know, I mean, obviously there could be a lot of empty pews in front of you because of the social distancing, but yeah, you know, I miss, you know, seeing a packed church. I'm not used to it. And I've been blessed since March. I haven't had a mass. A lot of the priests have had a mass by themselves. And I've always had maybe another brother priest to celebrate mass with or something. So I never really, mass is not never meant to be celebrated alone. You know,
no,
it's supposed to be with the people. So,
well, God, and definitely, I mean, the nice thing for, you know, for being a member of St. Philip's is obviously you get spoiled with you and you know, Monsignor does a great job, mm-hmm, but the energy you get with your fellow communicants.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's
absolutely,
just like you feel like, oh my God, it was such a scramble to get here with, you know, five of us in one car.
Sure.
But then you look at, you know, the family that has, like, you know, may have 4 or 5 kids under 8, and like the yeah, challenge that they might have had getting there, and I'm like, wow, right, this is humbling.
Yeah.
You feel humbled, and then the synergy you get with, you know, that you know, public worship and
no
shared
question,
worship is,
no question,
it's certainly different. And I hope that that, you know, that comes, you know, when, if and when, you know, I pray that, you know, we get to a point in the short term that we, you know, we can come back.
Get them back. Yeah, we got to welcome them back and challenge them to go back. You know, again, it's not like once, you know, I know that's a habit. And that's, again, now it's like, oh, we're used to the technology, you know, just watching online or something like that. But like, hey, let's get back to like, yeah, let's, you know,
the communal worship.
I want to receive the Eucharist. I want, you know,
absolutely,
I miss that. You know, I want to be with the people. So I think people do. I mean, I know, like, you know, obviously the restaurants now just reopen. People are, you know, we were trying to go to the Outback the other night, Father Dooner and I, and it was packed. So we're like, so people are getting out for that. So I'm hoping if they're going to the Outback,
yeah, they could
when we open up to 75%, 100%, they'll be coming to the Lord's house.
Sure.
So.
You know, are there any, you know, you talked about sports and theater and plays. Like, are there any other, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like parenthood. Like, you want to kind of hook them, mm-hmm, kind of, you know, in maybe ways that you can relate to them. Like, what are some, like, you talked about being a coach, you know, working
yeah,
with CYOs, and, you know, what are some of the other areas that you kind of trying to attract kids to get involved?
Well, that's the thing is, it's one of the things I always said to the kids, especially when we did Genesis, you know, we had, all right, wow, we have 30 kids, we have 50 kids, we have a full chapel. And you look out, remember, we start with 3. And I always was, the line I always said to the kids was, let us never be comfortable with this or satisfied. Like, we're always looking to bring more in, you know, and we could be comfortable in our own little, you know, oh, we got a couple groups of kids here, but what about some other kids that aren't here yet? Never, you know, we're always looking for more. And again, that was one of the things about, I think it was, you know, is the sports, the athletes. Oh, okay, like, that's not, athletes don't really do the faith thing. Well, again, when I was at Carroll, we had Catholic Athletes for Christ come
sure,
in. We had a great program there, and that really incorporated. I know we had service projects. I think part of the youth ministry sometimes is, especially if you start a youth group, it's, you know, it's really starts as a social group, but then you kind of sneak things in.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to realize it yet. Like, you're like, all right, maybe let's go, you know, let's do, like, I'll tell you, when I did something at Christ the King in Northeast Philly, when I started a youth group there, they all wanted to go paintball. I said, all right, well, I'll take you out of paintball. So I forget the name of the place. But we went to paintball. But on the way, and it was probably 20 minutes off track. Skirmish. We were going to skirmish. But on the
yep,
way, we stopped. I'm like, oh, I got to take a rest stop. It's the Chest of Jehovah Shrine. It was just there. So the kids are like, what is this? I'm like, oh, whoa, look what's here. Let's go. They didn't know we were going there. So we went. And then, like, they, you know, learned this all. Like, there's that, I remember the Chest of Jehovah. They had, like, the crutches everywhere,
yeah,
and all the miracles. And the kids were fascinated by that. But, like, and they still, I saw a couple kids about 2 months ago. And they still, like, talked about that. They remembered that. And that was just a sneaking little thing. Like, that was something, like, you know, and then eventually, obviously, you incorporate some service projects. I think that those little things you do, like, you know, obviously you want to do, like, that's the thing about even, like, Genesis. They did, like, some of the kids, they really enjoyed going to PJ Wheelhands for the half-price wings afterwards. Okay.
Sure.
okay, maybe you went for that to build friendship and hang out and have wings. But, you know, to pray before that, you know, who knows? Maybe that was, again, it's good to build friendship, but also that prayer beforehand, again.
Absolutely.
Go to PJ's and just pray for a little bit and hang out there. So, again, hey, God can, you know, the grace can
no
work
doubt.
There.
There's,
it's just trying to find different things and meet them where they're at. Like, again, just going beyond with the youth, a couple of things we did at Havertown with the parish was we did a thing called Three Priests in a Bar, and we took over McGillicuddy's.
That's awesome.
And it was unbelievable. And again, this got
to get when the L House opens back
up.
Yeah,
we'll
do it.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to. But we had such, again, we started with, like,
what was the concept?
It was pretty much just, you know, I had two of my good friends. You know, I always had a special guest sometimes, like I had Father DeLacy's vocation director. I had two guys, like, you know, like close to age with me and stuff like that. And we would just, like, it was just very, like, it was just, there was no, it wasn't like textbooks, like theology on tap. I love theology on tap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was just open-ended. We told stories. We told jokes.
Dude, that's awesome.
We heard questions from the people. We did Quizzo. So we asked Catholic,
Catholic Quizzo.
And then we sang a song at the end. We would sing like a, so at the bar, we would sing like, Let There Be Peace on Earth like that.
So cool.
We did it like six times, and the first time I was like, oh, this is a hit or miss or something like that. But this thing really was really blew up. Now obviously can't do it now, but you know, it really, again, just trying to find things again, like outside, you know, it's like, oh, all right, well, this is going to, and a lot of people got, you know, they're like, oh, this bar thing's, and then they really enjoyed it because it was just very,
that's awesome,
relaxed.
Absolutely.
It was unscripted.
Pretense. Yeah,
exactly.
No, we're going to take a break, folks, and we're going to be back with Father Mike for the second half hour. Again, tonight's topic, youth ministry. We'll be back in a minute.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com. www.InnerSignRadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. Your host, Joe Traynor, and I'm with the incomparable Father Mike Spaziel, assistant pastor over at St. Philip Neri. And like I said, for those of you that are aware of St. Philip, it really is. I went to a rival school, St. John of the Cross, and we weren't very... We weren't very complimentary of St. Philip. And then, you know, all these years later, my oldest son, when we first moved back to the area, my oldest son was baptized there. And but we're parishioners over there, and it really is a special. I say it begrudgingly, but it really is a special.
It's a powerhouse. I could tell SPN's the saints. You know?
Yeah, so, no doubt. Yeah, no it's question. Awesome. And you know what? Talk about leadership. You know, and we were off the air, and I was talking to Father Mike about, you know, how well, you know, it's almost like they feed off of each other. Monsignor Vance over there and Father Mike, and, you know, and is great. And he's a phenomenal leader. He's truly a leader of people. And, you know, and you know, you complement each other so well. It's almost like you're able to feed off of one another.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about your relationship with Monsignor.
And I think that's the black. And people love to see that, too. It's at a parish level.
And you can't fake that, either.
Oh, like, you can't fake
that's,
it.
That's,
no,
you
because
can
you
can
tell someone's, yeah, if someone's not, you're not happy at a parish.
Absolutely. And you'll have a little, you know, I like your little jabs with your, you know, Monsignor, what do you, you know,
yeah,
you leave me with the camera here.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, just
he gave little... me six, you know, six, what's three collections? What are you doing, dude? And people love that, and I think they see that, and they see that's the joy of the priesthood, you know. And I think that also, you know, makes people like, hey, you know what, being a priest is a great life. It's a rewarding life, and that's a big part of it. The camaraderie, the fraternity, the priesthood. And I know Monsignor Vance and Father Dooner, you talk about joyful, happy priests. Like, that's what you want. And after all their years of service, they still got it. You know, sometimes as you know, even you're married, you're doing the same job all the time, you can lose that passion. Well, they don't, they still got it. And that's why I'm so blessed to be with them. And just, you know, we tag team, we work together, we're a team. It's not a competition, but we, you know, Monsignor's got gifts that, you know, wisdom that I don't got, Father Dooner, same thing. But it's all us working together, and we, you know, we don't take each other too seriously.
No.
We can kid with each other, and the parishioners love that stuff. And even at Santa Stage, the same thing. Monsignor Cribb, I was so blessed. You know, I've had so many great priests that I've worked with and looked up to, and I've been, you know, I'm looking up to. You know, we have a lot of fun, and you know, Monsignor Vance and Father Dooner, they're just,
that's awesome.
You know,
Monsignor Vance, my mother passed away back in February, and he didn't know her because she was already in St. Joe's Villa by the time. We relocated back, but he gave the service was at St. Philip, and it was a big deal. I mean, between the viewing and the funeral and the wake, it was a lot of people.
Sure.
And he was just lights out the entire time. Mm-hmm. And you felt like, you know, there's moments where you're like, you know, not only I'm proud to be a Catholic always, right? Because I do believe that to be true. But like, there's certain moments you're like, man, I'm really proud to be a Catholic right here, because here's a guy who doesn't, you know, we're members, but we're not front and center, and we're not, and my brother's in the same parish, and there's seven of us, you know, scattered throughout the Philadelphia area. But like, I felt like, man, this is a guy that's like taking care of his own.
Yeah, no question.
And there was no, like, it wasn't like he was invested in us as a family.
Sure.
He was paying us the same tribute that he was paying the person 2 days later.
No question.
That deserved it because they deserved it. And, you know, and then, you know, and I, you know, not only was I proud to be a Catholic, super proud at that point, but I'm proud to be a member of St. Philip. And I just, you know, to your point, like, sometimes it's hard, you know, it's just, there's times when you feel it's hard to, you know, be loud and proud. And like, you know, and I don't think, you know, I've been blessed to be around great church leaders myself, and I feel like as I get older, I am taking it as a responsibility to be loud and proud.
Absolutely.
You know, and to talk about all the greatness in Catholicism.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and
we definitely hear all the negative stuff. Yeah.
I do want to talk to you about something, and I've asked a couple guests about it.
Sure.
You know, under, you know, what they say, Catholic means universal, right?
Sure.
So it's the universal church, right? So, but under the church, and this is just my own horseback observation, it seems like, you know, you've had pendulum swings throughout, you know, certainly not being, you know, crazy well versed in the church history, but
sure.
We're a 2,000 year plus institution, and you know, and there's been pendulum swings with conservatives and, you know, conservative movements and liberal movements, and
sure.
You know, the pendulum swings. But I feel there are times in my own faith where, you know, more is dividing us than uniting us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah.
And you know, whether it's how we interpret church doctrine or dogma, or, you know, like issues of life and immigration, and you know, you're coming off on the heels of an election, which I'm not about to get into, but, you know, I almost feel there are times when, you know, I don't share as much in common, you know, in terms of my belief system as I may have 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
based on opinions within the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, you know, an issue of life or immigration, and then
sure.
You know, is it two questions I have for you, Father Mike. You know, is it reconcilable, or is it should it be reconcilable, or do you see a schism coming?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not holding the gun to your
no,
head.
No, absolutely.
Do you think it's like, you know, it's something that can be reconciled?
Well, I would just say this. This is a homily from a couple of weeks ago with the Holy Family. You know, the church is a family. You know, what does the devil love? He loves to sow division in the family. So whether our own families, whether the country, whether in the church, we see a lot of division everywhere right now.
Sure.
And again, it just, you know, it's so easy, even in the church, politics and, you know, people's own personal views besides, you know, not working with the Holy Spirit. You know, sin enters into that. So it's just really just the prayer is that, you know, even amongst priests, like, you know, being a priest with other priests and bishops, working with other bishops, like, this is a, you know, we got to come together, you know, and not just saying it, but like, but actually doing it. And again, I, you know, being in the seminary, that was, you know, working with all these different seminarians, different personalities, different, you know, just different, everyone brings something to the table. But it is easy, even as a priest, as like, you know, there's division. Like, this might be surprising to you, but it's easy. Like, I've been Monsignor Vance, Father Dinner, really easy to work with because we're very kind of like you know, the same kind
like-minded.
Of style.
Yeah,
right.
Like-minded.
But you have people with different styles. Well, oh, I'm just going to focus on, oh, that person is just, you know, is that. And it's just like a family. You know, it's just like, well, all I notice is that. And it stirs up division. It stirs up problems in the church. You know, and I'm not just talking about myself, but bishop against bishop, priest against
sure.
priest, deacon against deacon, parishioner against parishioner. And that's not, you know, church is one. And that's, you know, and again, like whatever whether it's a topic or a church issue, you know, really, I guess, even for these working with the youth ministry, trying to find just a little bit of common ground and building on that. Like, that's the thing, is just like, it's so easy to pick the things that we disagree on or we're not on the same. Everyone knows what we disagree on. But what about what we actually have in common? Like, even in a classroom, there's the kid that's fighting me on everything, and that's an atheist, and just like will just not budge on some
sure.
of the beliefs. But I would always like kind of step back again, and I kind of felt that way when I was in school too. But I would pull the kid aside. I'm like, you know, what is something we do have in common? And trying to build, like, they're like, oh, you actually care, because they're going to think, oh, it's going to be me against you all year.
Sure.
I don't want them to do
it.
I'm going to throw it. I'm like, whoa, you know what? Like, I want to find something we actually can build on. Why just go at each other? Maybe you don't believe in the sacraments, or you don't believe in, you know, in God or whatever, but there's something we do. You know, there's got to be something we have in common. And I think, again, most people have, you know, priests and deacons and the parishioners mean well, but, you know, again, we get caught up in some of the politics, or just someone that says something on social media, or, I know that person's done. Like, oh, that parishioner's done. That priest is done. And we got to go, you know, we got to find ways to build the common ground. You know, we see what's going on in the country. We see what's going on, you know, within our own families. You know, it's got to start with the church family, you know. And I'm talking to myself because I could be that way. You know, it's tough. Some parishioners and some priests, some deacons, there's things I can even say about today, what happened today. But you got, you know, you got to like, all right, step back. Hey, we're all in this together, you know, and that's what the Lord would want, you know, like, you know, and maybe again, everyone's not like 100% on the same page, but maybe down the road we will, you know, again, a lot of the kids, the high school kids, like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm never going to believe in this issue, or we're always going to agree, disagree on this issue. Okay. But maybe 15, 20, that's what I said. Maybe down the line you'll understand or
sure.
agree with the issue, but maybe right now you don't get it. but I don't like, I don't hate you for that, or you're not like banned from the Catholic Church. But building on that common ground and just letting the Spirit, it's really, it's God's work. It's not like, all right, well, I got to get this through your head now because this is what I want you to believe. Well, no, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and it's also, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
No question. Right? Meet people where they're at. So,
absolutely.
So some people like Jesus, you know, the apostles with the people that followed him didn't get it right away.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And he was right there for it, right?
Oh, yeah, and they still didn't get it. So if Jesus is right there and they're like, well, we don't, all the apostles don't get it, then how, we're going to have our problems too.
Absolutely. I want to talk about the gift of faith, right? Because this has always bothered me. And I've always been somebody, and for all my shortcomings, and I'm saying this not in a bragging sort of way, but like, I truly believe I was gifted with a faith that is unshakable. That's like great. I've had my darkness, and I've thrown rocks, I've had some dark moments, and absolutely, I'm not saying that, but I haven't let its humanity alter my faith. Good. The routine and all that's offered for me, and I don't take advantage of a lot of the things I should outside of the mass, like we were talking about earlier, I should get to confession more, and I should do novena more, and but there's certain things that I do feel like my faith has got me through the darkest times of my life.
No question.
When I got fired, or when when I'm having problems with my kids, or mm-hmm. my wife, it's been my faith that I've relied on. And I've always, there's a part of me that is like, seven kids, and probably three or four of us practice the faith, and three or four of us don't.
No question.
And but I've always been, it's always bothered me that like, I know God wills us all to be saved, but like, why is it easier for some of us? Like, why? And it's been it's been nurtured and watered and mm-hmm. pruned and, but like, someone that's an atheist, why do I have this blessing mm-hmm. of a gift that, not everyone has,
right.
And then when you try and relate that to salvation, right. like, how does that, like, if certain people, whether you're born into a bad situation, or a faithless and beyond faithless, a horrific situation with a family life that's for people like us maybe incomprehensible. Like, I still struggle to reconcile that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too. Yeah, you have people parishioners come all the time and say like, oh man, I raised my kids, we went to church every week, and we went to Catholic school and Catholic college. They're not going to church. They're done with church, and I'm baptizing their kids. So what happened to that? Those kids, like, I gave them everything, Father. And I think one of my favorite quotes, and really, again, another basis of youth ministry and any ministry, is from C.S. Lewis. Faith is something that's not taught, it's caught. Mm. And I love that. Because you could, like, again, I could teach these kids that are blue in the face these textbooks about the doctrines and the beauty of the Eucharist and all this stuff. And again, it's all, that's mind stuff, and it's stuff that they need to know, and it's stuff that, to know about God. But there's another thing about to know about God, but to know God, to love God. And that's the caught part. And for people, it's like sometimes it's sooner than later. Some people get it, grade school, high school. Some people college, some people after college, some people later on in life.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a catch, and what does that mean? It's beyond a catechism. I love the catechism. I love the Bible, but when it means something to you, like, and that it hits your heart. We love the mind. Again, the church has very amazing minds in the church and amazing teachings that we have, but one of the issues, I think this is one of our struggles, is mind to heart. All right, what does all this stuff mean for me? Like, what is this going to do with, like, life right now? And again, making it part of, like, my heart and part of my everyday life. And that's the catching of it. And again, God, again, I said, for me, I would say the beginning for that was getting that confessional, in the Miraculous Metal Shrine. But, I was forced to that moment, but I was open to that moment. My heart was open to give this a shot, even though I was kind of forced to be there. Some people, again, it's like, I think, one of the things I remember, Carol, something like that was really open heart, was a service project. We went to Kentucky for a week in the summer. Mm. Hit home. Some of these kids that live from Main Line and top-notch places never saw anything what they saw there. No Wi-Fi.
Sure, the Appalachian.
It hits them. Yeah. It hits them. Kairos retreats. they give God a chance. Like, you know, it's like, there's, I got, you have, like, and that was a big thing. One of the big things I noticed with the youth, and again, I'm sure it's the same with the adults. We took the phone away yep. for a week. We took the phone away 4 days. And let me say, like, the relationships and the ability of the, for them to pray and reflect on, you know, God's nature and beauty and
be present, man.
Be present, truly. Like, we took the phone away. That was a big thing. Like, the kids were like, we were so angry to take the phones away. But when we took the phone away for these retreats,
it was liberating.
It was liberating, and they were able to catch it, and they got to see, they would have missed it. You know, again, not saying the phone is evil, but they gave God a chance. Again, that's like, you know, you're open to having that experience. Steubenville is another thing.
Sure.
And again, I've been blessed to see a lot of young people get involved in that. But again, it happened later on. Like, some people, it's like, you know, we have four people in RCIA at St. Phillips, and they caught it, you know, at a later age. Some of it they got from their wife. Some of it they got just, you know, they just excited about the faith. Like, it's just, it's God's time.
Sure.
You know, that's what we say, Kairos is God's time. So, you know, for me, it was going to my senior year of high school, you know, but some people haven't had that yet. Maybe, you know, they're
sure.
I just hope that they're open to it. But it's, I just think it's a catching. I think it's, you know, it's beyond teaching. And again, I've been a teacher all these years, and, you know, I've been, obviously I'm teaching the right things. I'm teaching Orthodox teaching, but when I bring it alive, again, I love the textbook, but just like, hey, all right, I'm going to tell you about this story about Jesus, but let me tell you how it relates. Like, and tell them a personal story about what happened in my life, or share a YouTube video from, like, you know, some like Patrick Mahomes about
sure.
his faith.
Yeah.
Like, then it comes alive. It's not just, oh, we're just reading Matthew chapter 10. It's like, all right, well, this is how you live Matthew chapter 10. And again, I just feel like that's mind to heart is that's, you know, we got, that's the connection.
Absolutely.
And it can be disconnected. It's just, oh, we're just teaching all this stuff about
sure.
God.
I think one of the, one of my favorite, I've used it, I think I referenced it last week, but I think it was St. Francis that said, we're all called to teach the Bible, to teach the gospel, and when necessary, use words.
Right, exactly.
Right. You know, it's no all question. Based on, like, you know, you hope you can attract people, you know, with your sense of peace and mm-hmm. your happiness. And I think I look back at my upbringing and, you know, I've at first I wasn't, you know, when my kids went to college, it was, you know, because it was the, hey, man, we're, you know, you sleep,
sure.
you know, you're, you know, hey guys, we're getting up for mass, you know,
right,
it might
right.
be, it might be 11:30 or 12,
exactly.
or it might be the 7 p.m. down at Villanova, but we're going to church, by God. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then you want to kind of, you know, and we were talking about the obligatory nature of it, but yeah, you want, you know, I know with young people, you want it to be, you know, you don't, and I look back at my family, like my dad was a, you know, he was a pipe swinger, and it was like, mm-hmm. You knew if you were sleeping over my house, you were getting up for church.
Right, sure.
You know, because that's just the way, that
that's
were
the
rules.
Was.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, which is, there's nothing wrong with that,
sure,
but at
sure.
the end of the day, if you don't want it to be that, you know, like that
just
penal,
mechanical.
Yeah, yeah, or you don't want yeah. it to be like some type of penal, you know, like punishment.
No
you know
question.
What I mean? Like,
no
you don't
question.
Want it to, you want it to be like, hey, dude, we get a chance to
And there really there. Wasn't a lot of whys back. I mean, people, you know, they would ask sometimes, but now that at today's age, everyone's got to ask this question. Why we got to do this?
Oh,
mom?
My gosh.
Why do we believe this?
Absolutely.
And all this
Trust
stuff.
Me. I
you get it for
yeah.
your kids. And
my oldest, I went back. I just finished my master's in theology in May. And the reason I went back, we just moved down from Rhode Island, and my mm-hmm. my oldest son was going into high school. And he's like freshman year in high school, and he's probably a month and a half, 2 months in. And, you know, he's a deep thinker, and we start having this talk about the Bible and the Old Testament, and, you know, and he's asking me some questions that he's trying to stump me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, and I'm older, significantly older than you, but when I was growing up and you didn't understand something, it was, it's just a mystery of the faith.
Yeah,
so
right,
don't worry
exactly.
about it.
No, yeah.
You know, and he's like, okay, it's a mystery of the faith.
Right,
you know,
right,
but
right.
like kids, to your point, kids
they
today,
won't stop.
That's not
oh,
fine with
no,
that.
No, you got it. You
no,
got
you
it.
Better have, and even if it's, even if you have to, you know, wing it and hope mm-hmm. that God inspires you with words.
With the words
that,
to say.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that kind of was the impetus that, you know, I ended up taking a class at Villanova because you could go to school for free. And then one class led to two and two led to three. But but at the end of the day, I think, you know, you hope that your appeal to your friends or your,
no question.
You know, the people you interact with is really just kind of, hey, man, this person has something that I
yeah,
really
yeah,
don't
you'll never
have.
Know that. Your witness. And that's the thing is, like, I'm sure people say to you, like, hey, you know, like a football coach and all that background. Like, I think a lot of people think it's got to be like a guy, it has to be someone with a collar on and that only the people that have that connection. But it's like lay people and
sure.
regular people like yourself. that can relate maybe to some kids that I can't relate to that. I mean, you have just,
we
as
are
much,
the body of Christ.
No question.
Right?
The no question.
The
so
body of Christ.
It's awesome to like, to see that and to know that like, and then the kids might see like, man, I wish I want to see what, you know, what coach, you know, what, you know, Coach Joe has, like, I want to have what they have. And that's the thing. Sometimes I'll never hear this, but down the road, like that, like a kid going through, I say, I heard this like, oh yeah, finally, like, it was inspiring. I did not like, you don't realize it, but just, it's awesome. Just by, you don't, it's not about so much by what they like, what you taught them. It's just like your joy, your example, your, you know, just, you know, no matter what happens again, like today I told you, today I had to marry one of my students, you know, again, please pray for the Remar family. Danny is from King of Prussia, Mother Divine Providence, and one of my former students. But, you know, I sad to say, to this moment, I had to bury, like, I can't, it's like, this is my fifth kid. From Carol, you know, you know, and just over the years, it's never going to get used to, never going to be easy. But a lot of, yeah, like a lot of my former students were there, reached out, you know, thanks for leading, you know, I don't know what that guy said in the homily.
Sure.
You know, just keeping, you know, things together and trying to hold our faith together. But again, what else do we have, you know, if we just could fall apart, and it's our faith that's going to hold us together. And that's what I'm hoping these kids, even in this dark, tough moment for, you know, for losing Danny and, you know, that, you know, faith will lead us through. God will lead us through this pandemic, whatever it is. You know, you can't do it alone.
No
you
way.
Can't, so.
I tell my kids twice a week, I say, listen, I will fail you 20 times a day as your father. You know, and mom, I fail mom. I said, but God is the only unconditional love that you will find. And in terms of like, you know, when you have in life, you may have divorce, you may have job loss, you may have bury a child.
Sure.
You know, but I do believe, and I believe that because I know, you know, I'm married to an amazing woman, and I have three amazing kids.
Sure.
You know, it the dark times that bring that when life punches you in the face.
No question.
It's yeah. Your God that's really get, you know, gives there unconditionally and gives you hope. Mm-hmm. Five kids you buried. That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And they're all different reasons, all different situations, but. And I've learned something from each one, you know, and the, you know, and just the families are all, you're forever connected to, you're forever bonded
absolutely.
To, and, you know, and just, you know, it's never easy to do that. And, but again, through, you know, the Holy Spirit, I guess I guess the way I look at it, I'm meant to be the rock to the family, try to lead them through that. But at the same time, I know, like, you know, I'm a human being too. I got to make sure. Get like the Monsignor Vances and Father Dooners and having priest mentors, having good friends, my family, you know, I got to make sure I'm okay. You know, I can't give what I don't have.
No
so,
doubt.
So again, today, I knew today was going to be a tough day, but a lot of the great support of prayer and good priests and good friendships, you know, to help, you know, to help us come through, and a great community at MDP and Archbishop Carroll to, you know, they come together, and that's the beauty of our community and faith.
Absolutely,
I don't know how you do it without it.
Yeah.
You can't do it, and even the family, even with all that happened, what did they turn? They're people of faith.
Absolutely,
the Remars. So
well, definitely keep them in our
prayers.
Yeah, please,
I appreciate that.
One final question.
Yeah,
for you. You know, with Catholic education, you're a product of 12 years, really, mm-hmm. You know, 20 years when you get
in
down
the seminary.
To it. Yeah, you could write a book about that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
No
but,
question.
You know, 20 years of Catholic education. You know, when you see, you know, your Doherty, my mom was in the first graduating class at Doherty, I think first co-ed class at Doherty,
sure.
You know, and at one point it was the biggest co-ed high school
I know,
in the country,
it's, now it's gone.
You know,
so.
And I, you know, I had St. John of the Cross, you know, like we were in Monster Parish. I graduated, mm-hmm. I think there was like 75, 80 kids in my graduating class. You know, what, like in terms of Catholic education now, like, do you you know, look at some of the high schools, Bishop McDevitt having to close. And
sure.
Do you think that the archdiocese, will they ever get out of education, do you think? Or do
I
you
hope
think?
Not.
No.
I hope I not.
I
you
hope
can't.
So. Yeah.
You got to keep it going. I know there's like some like, oh, just close them all and just, you know, we need the schools to keep it vibrant. So I'm definitely, no, we can't give up on that Catholic education.
I'm with you there.
You know, so.
Father Mike, this has been awesome. The hour flew.
I love I the souls on fire.
There
this
we
is,
go.
I'm all pumped up right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. This is, when I thought about a theme song, I felt like this is
it,
kind
brother.
Of my song.
No,
so.
Absolutely. This is a great song.
This is great, man. I continue to pray for you, for what you do. Thank you for
thank
everything
you, man.
You do for
yeah, thank
all
you
of
for
our
you,
families.
Though. This is great. Radio, and who knows who we're
absolutely.
Listening to today. So we
all right, folks, until we meet again next week, God bless. Have a great one.
God
Take
bless.
Care.
See you.